We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right, Philip Holloway, who is a criminal defense attorney down in Atlanta. He is a Fox News contributor. He'll join us this hour in a little bit to talk about the latest developments in the Gabby Petito case. I have a couple things here before Sue's news. First, the big reveal on the strange odor. This is just an unusual story, and I want to share it just because, as I mentioned last hour, Sue, and I've said this before, even when weird things happen, I shared the story of my Ray-Bans recently because we went to the baseball game. Maybe you weren't here when I shared this, were you?
I don't think I was.
Okay, so you and I went to the baseball game.
Yes.
Fred, you were up there when we were there with the clients that night in June. And I had my, it was a night game, and I thought, I'm going to bring my sunglasses because I got to look cool, but then I might lose them. So I get home. Well, it's better to look good than to feel good. Let's make that clear.
Certainly.
Plus, by the way, I wear sunglasses a lot because my eyes look gold, and that covers that up.
Did you just say your eyes look golden?
Mine, like, old. No,
oh,
old.
Oh,
like
old. Okay. I thought you said golden. I'm like, what's happening?
So I get back. I think I did tell you this story. Anyway, I get back, can't find the sunglasses anywhere. I'm like, oh. Well, so I'm the type of person who, unfortunately, obsessed about these things. I can't sit back and say, I'm going to find those things somewhere. Because I was convinced I left them in the suite, okay, at the game. So I bought another pair right away. And then 2 months later.
Oh, here we go.
I was trying to power wash some stuff in my backyard. And it must have been that Saturday, right after the game, I bought a power washer. Because a man's got to have a power washer,
well,
and I've never had one. And when I was done with the power washing, those glasses must have fallen off into the cords because the cord was all wrapped up. And as I went to use the power washer, or do you say washer, a few weeks ago.
You did not.
You do not is right, but just in case, just to feel welcoming here in St. Louis on Highway 44, I found my sunglasses. So I bring that up as an explanation. There's always an explanation. We don't know what it is, right?
You're right.
So last Thursday, I'm getting ready to go to Las Vegas, and we have a guest room right across from my daughter's room that is essentially the room where I pile up all the laundry, and then I fold it from there. But we don't use it very much. It's an extra guest room. When people come, they stay in the basement. But we do store some things in there. And the cats get in there, and they hide under the bed, all this stuff. So I'm walking by that room. The door was open. We usually have the door open because, you know, we don't want to trap the cats in there. And if you close the door, they may do something and not be able to get to the box. But this was not a urine smell. It was an odd smell. It was musty.
Yeah.
Musty, if you will.
Never good.
No, never good.
So I'm looking on the floor for something that might have spilled. There's all this stuff in there from Alexa, like clothes that we need to donate. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to have to pull all of this out of the room and figure it out. Well, I'm leaving for this trip. So secretly, I'm thinking, well, Becky's going to do this when I'm gone, and she's going to figure this out. So I get home on Monday late, and one of the first things I did, I never even asked her. I opened the room, and I'm like, oh, God, it's still there. So now in my mind, I got to figure this out.
You wanted her to do it.
Of course I wanted her to do it.
Thank you for translating, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Well, because I was gone. So she said she had gone in there over the weekend. She looked under the bed. She's trying to find, well, what is it, right? All right. On September 11th, that was her birthday. Okay, actually, this happened on September 12th. I was ill on the 10th and 11th, but we celebrated her birthday on that Sunday. I've mentioned this to you before, Sue, that my wife, this is, makes no sense whatsoever to me. I think it's wrong. She doesn't like sweets. She doesn't like sugar, right?
I don't know what to do with that, but I understand it. I wish I had that.
It does benefit me, though, when we go to charity functions, when you get meals, you get a dessert, because I get two desserts, right?
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. But knowing that she doesn't like sweets, I'm not going to get her like a birthday cake, right?
Right.
Or a
what do you get her?
Cupcake. Well, here's what I did.
Oh, dear.
This is the solution to our question of what was the musty odor. On that particular night, I had a rare creative moment. And I thought to myself, I need to bring something out with her gifts. We had, Alexa and I had some presents. Uh-huh. And I lit a little, I found a little candle, and I put it in a
I don't know
stalk.
Where you're going with this. I'm very confused.
You would never know. You would never, no one would ever guess this in a million years.
All right, we're
to
the
candle. I'm trying to come up with something. I put the candle in a stalk of broccoli. Because she likes vegetables.
No.
So I thought I was kind of being funny. I put the thing in the broccoli. I come out. Alexa and I sing. Apparently, the other piece of broccoli, because I must have torn.
There's always two.
Was on the just simply on the dresser next to some clothes.
Oh,
and it was there for, well, what's the. That's
you
almost,
had rotting broccoli that in your guest room for 12 days.
12 days. Yes.
At least
might be the first
stay
person.
In your room, yeah.
Nine days. I think 9 days.
Okay.
But I would have never guessed that in a million years. So for those of you who have a musty odor in your home, it could be broccoli.
Yes.
Can I give you a piece
dresser.
Of advice, too?
Yes, sure, Dave.
Yes.
If you have people coming in town that you don't want to stay at your house.
That is a great idea.
Leave it in there.
I love that.
Leave it in there because they're going to go, you know what? I think we should just find a hotel.
Yeah, right. You're right about that.
Speaking of bad odors, there's nothing worse than coming home from work, walking into the house, have that horrible order in your house, and realize your wife's been making Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what we've had it happen. We've had it happen, I think, with broccoli and Brussels sprouts here. Someone puts stuff in the microwave, and then it emanates throughout the whole building.
And it stays for the day.
Yeah. Am I the rare guy that likes Brussels sprouts?
No, I love them. I like them, too.
I do, too. Yeah.
But when you boil broccoli, it smells like feet.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And at least it wasn't cooked. I'm trying to find the bright side, right?
That smell lingers for a while.
Yeah, it won't go away.
Just a piece of broccoli.
Just a piece of broccoli.
Now it's magically the odor is gone. You got to be a little impressed, Klein, on my creativity on that.
That's pretty good.
Did she like it? Was she appreciative?
She did. She laughed.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Because I was told one time by a girlfriend in college that I did not have a romantic bone in my body.
Yeah.
That was
stuck
the quote.
With you.
Yeah.
Well, that broccoli really showed you.
Back to her glasses. Back to your missing glasses.
Yes.
That reminded me, you lose a lot of glasses.
Well, no, I only lose. I always. Hang on. Hang on, Fred. I don't like the allegation. I think it's an unfair and unfounded allegation. I lose reading glasses.
You do.
Sadly, I have an affinity for relatively expensive sunglasses. So I have several pairs of sunglasses. I rarely, if ever, lose them because I do take very good care of them. And Becky loses them all the time, so I don't buy her good sunglasses. But I lose my reading glasses all the time.
Well, can we say where you lose your reading glasses typically?
Well, there's a couple of spots. Sometimes it's in the sports office.
It's often in the sports
department. Right.
Sometimes they're on top of your head.
That is true.
Yes.
That happens to a lot of us, Dave.
That happened to me over the weekend. I was in Vegas, and I was scrambling. I can't remember where I was, but I'm like, where are my glasses? And somebody looked at me and said, they're on your head right now. I'm like, okay.
If I had a dollar for every time I've told you that over the years, I'd be retired.
No, you know where
now.
Most people, and if the older folks out there will probably appreciate this, in my passenger seat, in that little area to the left of your passenger seat, between your console and your seat.
Oh, okay.
I put them on the passenger seat, and then they fall. So sometimes I'm in my house and I can't find them. I go out there and I'll grab like 5 pair from the crevasses of my car. All right, one other thing here before Sue's news, because I like this, and you guys might remember Dave Simonette. Dave is in a band called Trampled by Turtles. He also has had a couple other incarnations. He's a great singer-songwriter, and he's a musician that travels around the country that works at venues like The Pageant. They would play Trampled by Turtles, great band. They'd play The Pageant. I've seen them at The Pageant before. So, look, I'm not crazy about all the vaccination requirements. I had to prove vaccination when I went to Life is Beautiful in Vegas. By the way, they didn't really look at it. I had it on my ClearPass digitally. They just waved you in. But not crazy about the government telling me what to. Certainly opposed to Joe Biden's vaccination requirement. Having said that, I think this is a very helpful perspective when it comes to what we're going through right now. And I have a lot of friends who are in bands, musician friends, that have gone through a lot in the last year. So Dave wrote this, and this got sent out to the Trampled by Turtles fans. Okay, I don't feel like I should have to spell this out, but apparently nothing can be simple anymore. Everyone in our business was just out of work for a long time. Everyone. Bands, crews, managers, booking agents, venues, sound companies, catering companies, security companies, beer vendors, cleaning companies, too many to list. Now, we've all been able to go back to work, which is wonderful. However, if people start getting COVID at concerts, it all gets shut down for us yet again. If any one of the 25 or so people on this tour test positive, the rest of the shows get canceled. That's what happened with Cheap Trick a couple of weeks ago when they had somebody got sick in one of the, not in that band, but in someone else's band, apparently. There are a lot of people that depend on these shows for their living. I know it's inconvenient to have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test at the gate, but that's the price we have to pay to keep concerts happening at the moment. I like this line. Trust me, I can't wait, Dave wrote, to not give a blank about your personal healthcare choices once again. But you are adults. If you don't like the request, then don't go to the concert for the time being. Easy as that. I know that's not ideal, but seriously, tyranny? Ha, there's plenty of countries around the world in which you could experience actual tyranny. And I agree with him on this, by the way. I've been to some of those countries. Stop being so spoiled. We are a band. We have no means by which to inflict tyranny upon you. Listen, we appreciate all the extra hoops through which you are jumping to come see us play right now. As we've all learned, live music is a privilege. We'd like to keep it going. Thanks for your time, Dave Simonette. Now, he also said, P.S., I think this is important. Please notice that there has not been one political sentence in this entire speech. P.P.S., please stop yelling at each other in the comments like a bunch of blanking teenagers. If you can find an example of that kind of behavior changing anyone's mind in this silly echo chamber, I'll take that back. Well stated, Dave Simonette, trampled by turtles, because I think it is time to take a step back. You can be upset about all these things, but you have to recognize that there are people that have not been able to work for a long time that might still not be able to work for this winter if things turn bad. So I wanted to share that this afternoon. Let's do this right now.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
In honor of the new James Bond movie coming out finally on October the 8th, No Time to Die, Aston Martin is releasing a battery-powered small DB5 for the kids to drive. It will, of course, have all kinds of James Bond-type gadgets. As the headlights retract, toy machine guns come out, and
nice.
It can make its own smoke screen through a fake exhaust pipe.
Is this like a Power Wheels or like a remote-controlled car?
This is like it's almost a mini vehicle, Dave.
Okay.
I mean, you could get this for your boys for a mere $123,000.
Well, I got that laying around.
Yeah.
No big deal there.
You got twins.
I'll need two of them. So,
hope that doesn't bother you. It has no roof, so you can actually get in it and ride with them. And the instructions apparently actually recommend that you do ride with your kids for safety. But it's kind of a genius, and it's really cool looking. The Aston Martin DB5 for kids, because, you know.
Question. Does the machine gun actually work?
You know what? It doesn't say. I don't know if anything comes out of it, like water.
It would be
like
awesome
bubbles.
Bubbles. Oh, that'd be awesome.
If it had like a missile. I've always felt like this would be a good feature on most cars. Little front, you know, missile launcher for people
like
who do stupid
that's
things
nice.
On the highways, crossing over three mm-hmm. lanes at one time.
Yeah.
Just shoot that thing out, heat seeking.
Missile launcher.
Boom.
What could go wrong? Yes.
By the way, I'm looking at a picture. It's pretty cool.
That's what I mean. It's really awesome. That car is awesome to begin with. I almost didn't do this story just because Fred sent it to me.
Oh, the damn thing goes 45. Wait, that thing goes 45.
No, I like
miles.
Fred.
That thing goes 45 miles an hour.
Yes, it's serious.
Wow. Okay.
For $123,000, you got to have something with a little zoom, you know, a little power. But it's the toilet paper issue at Costco that I almost didn't mention because I don't want to start another, you know what I'm
Keep
saying,
it quiet.
Fred?
Keep it quiet.
I saw something yesterday up on the screen that alluded to this, but I can't remember what it was.
It was Costco.
Costco is sounding the alarm warning that on its website that, quote, some warehouses may have temporary item limits on selected items. Among them, our friend toilet paper.
We're back to this again?
I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine that this is the case again.
Who's pooping that much?
Well, and now that Roombas don't spread it around, we should all be fine.
Yeah.
Noting that those who bought it online are getting delays in receiving. Maybe that's just it. Maybe it's only online. I was in the grocery store today. There was plenty of toilet paper, but I had read this, and I did buy some. That's
see,
how it starts.
That is mm-hmm. exactly how it starts.
No, I didn't get the 10-pack.
People start panicking.
I just got the little one. But, ugh. Procter & Gamble, which makes Charmin and Bounty, is increasing production, so we should be okay. And they're operating factories, by the way, around the clock 7 days a week.
Oh, they actually have workers, too. That's good.
Right? There was a study out. Who tips more? Baby boomers, Gen Xers, or millennials? I bet you can guess this.
Baby boomers.
I'm going to say millennials.
No way.
Fred, you read this,
no
didn't
way.
You?
No, I didn't.
What do you think?
What are my three choices?
Millennials, baby boomers, bunch of cheapskates.
Baby boomers, Gen X, or millennials? Who tips more?
I'll say millennials.
Nope. Baby boomers.
Really?
100%.
Who got that? I can't remember who
I
got
think
that
it was
right.
Mark Ridden who got that too. Right. A majority of baby boomers, 55%, tip in the range of 16 to 20%, which I think 16 is a little low. But
yeah.
46% of Gen X and just 38% of millennials tip well.
Let me address the 15-16% number there. I do enjoy tipping. But for example, now you have a situation where at Breadco, or you know, I was doing transactions over the weekend with my credit card, and I'm simply buying something from a vendor at a music festival. Now I hit the 15% on that. I'm not going to tip 20%, 25% on something like that. I think most people probably wouldn't even tip that.
I agree.
So, but typically, if you're going out to a restaurant, I would say 15%. If you get good service, I'd go much higher than that.
Nothing is more awkward than when you're sitting there at the counter and you have your card in the machine, and the person's looking at you, and the thing pops up that says, "Would you like to leave a tip?"
Yeah, that's how they get you.
I guess so.
What was the generation before the baby boomers?
Gen X? Oh, no, before.
No,
I thought you meant like the three and
I don't know
survey.
What
I'm
they
sorry.
Called. Do you know,
like
Fred?
What's the parents, our parents'
What's before
generation?
A baby boomer? Oh, geez.
I don't know.
Dave, can you look it up? Hold on.
The Great Generation or something like that?
What is the generation?
Well, we always call them the Greatest Generation, yeah, but I didn't know if there was a... I'm forgetting the name for...
Silent Generation. That's what the internet says.
Well, because I would argue, and I'm not talking about my mom and dad here, but I've been with older people. This was many years ago when I was younger, who did not tip very well. These were folks who were... When I was in my 40s with some people that I worked with up in Milwaukee in their 60s, I was... A couple of times I had to tip... secretly, because there was no tip. The other thing I've seen this at car washes, where old dude comes in, super nice car, stiffs the kid on the tip completely.
That's just awful. It's the worst.
Completely.
So that's why it's hard to generalize, but that's why that study was interesting to me. Oh, gosh, we're at the end here. How about, are you ready for the random fact?
If you want to do one more, you can do one more.
We got time, Sue. Don't worry.
Do you? Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. Top 10 most expensive colleges in the U.S. Now, this is ranked by total price living on campus in an academic year, 2020 to 21. Well, number 10 is Yale,
$79,000.
$79,370. That's up 36% in the last 10 years. Number 9 is Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California, which I had never heard of.
No.
Number
that's
8.
Harvard's little brother.
Yeah.
Rogers'
right.
little brother. I've never heard of that one either. Harvey Mudd.
Harvey Mudd, 2 D's. Number 8, our own Wash U.
I knew Wash U would be up there.
$79,586. It's up 35% in the last 10 years. Amherst at 7. USC at 6. Then the top 5, Dartmouth. Number 4 is Brown. University of Pennsylvania cost $81,110.
Oh, yeah. Very prestigious
school.
That's
nuts. Really? It's up 41% in the last 10 years.
Are they Ivy League too?
I think you might consider it that. Number 2, Northwestern University, right there in Chicago. And number 1, University of Chicago. It costs you $81,531 a year.
What's the last one? I'm sorry.
University of Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that mind-blowing? Sorry, Davey, that chat. But send them to the state school. You don't have to go to any of that. And finally...
Well, wait. Why wouldn't you? And just take out a bunch of loans because they're all going to be forgiven anyway.
Oh, that's a good point.
Very true.
That's a good point. Today's random fact. Fred, listen closely.
Oh, boy.
If you took every different combination of Rubik's Cube possible and physically laid them out, you'd be able to cover the Earth's surface 275 times over.
Wow.
Mind
that's
blown.
Hard to believe. Wow.
There are 43 quintillion variations.
I've never been able to do one.
I haven't either. I could do one side, and that's it.
I just buy from Target when it's already
Rubik's
completed.
Was that
I'll
an,
say I did it.
Yeah, no, right. Was that a 70s or an 80s thing? I remember doing it when I was a kid. I can't remember if it was 80s or
70s. 80s.
Yeah, never really had a lot of success, which is why we're on radio, I think. There's a pretty good indicator right there. 426, Philip Holloway. He's a criminal defense attorney, a Fox News contributor. The latest on the search for Brian Laundrie and the Gabby Petito case. Also, woke survivors. Survivor went woke last night. Also, the ACLU, a little wokeness, and we'll get into that. That would come as no surprise. But the context of that is rather interesting. All before 5 o'clock on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Holy cow, the Cardinals right now. I don't even know what to think. How does 12 in a row sound? Sounds kind of unbelievable. It feels like a dream right now. We'll talk. I'm sure we're going to talk Cardinals tomorrow night with Kevin Wheeler. We'll get a Ryder Cup update as well. Our good buddy Dan Reardon, no relation, is going to be up at Whistling Straits. We have Dan Buffa on movies tomorrow. And also the Reardon Roundtable. On the Roundtable tomorrow, Shamed Dogan, who's running for St. Louis County Executive. He is a Republican from Baldwin, State Rep Donna Behringer, and Alderman Jack Coder. Jane has the afternoon off tomorrow, but that's all coming up tomorrow afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. Phil Holloway is with us right now. He's a Fox News contributor, criminal defense attorney in Atlanta. We're going to talk about the Brian Laundrie search and everything that's going on with that. Phil, thank you for coming on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, this case obviously is captivating the country right now. You know what I did today for the first time? I was out of town last weekend, and obviously this thing is moving quickly. But I took time and I watched almost that entire dash cam recording from Moab, Utah. I'd seen the clips like everyone else, but I hadn't watched the big chunks of it, and I thought it was interesting. And one of the takeaways that I think I had from that might be underplayed here, and I got to be careful because I'm not trying to, victim blame or anything like that, but Gabby seemed like she certainly said that she had OCD. She seemed a little mentally unstable to me. I'm not trying to blame her, but isn't this case a little bit more complicated than we even know at this point?
Oh, of course it's more complicated. And look, the police and law enforcement, they know more than they are telling us,
right?
Because they have to protect the integrity of their investigation. It would be really silly to think that they're telling us everything that they've got. With respect to the incident with the domestic violence that you were making reference to, apparently now that is the subject of a new investigation. Moab police are going to go back and look to see if they handled it in an appropriate way. And let me be careful, too, because I'm not blaming the police in Utah for anything. They have discretion to make arrests where they see fit. And I applaud police for not being heavy-handed in many instances when they don't need to be, okay?
Right, yeah.
Police do have lots of discretion. But now, that being said, in the context of domestic violence, my point is that I think they would have been authorized and justified and on sound legal ground to make an arrest if they had chosen to do so. They had a caller who was an eyewitness to allegations that the boyfriend was hitting the girlfriend and then vice versa. When they got on scene, they developed information that said, hey, this might be a mutual combat situation. So not only do I think they could have made one arrest, they probably would have been justified to make a dual arrest of both parties.
Well, and see, so my takeaway on that is in maybe both parties, that would have been the answer. But they actually talk about this. And, you know, the one officer says, look, I don't have, an option here just because Brian is bigger and stronger. We have to treat it the same way as if he was hitting her. And they come to the the decision that she was slapping him and hit her with his phone. Look, none of that matters because now we have a murder. But I do think it's interesting because obviously this was a very troubled young couple. Then we get to the weird thing that happens. He comes back. She's not with him. He's with his parents for a while. What is the culpability legally for the parents? Can they be charged with anything? And you know, as you've indicated, the police know a lot more at this point. What do you make of the search that's going on in the swamp?
Well, they're not looking for a human that is alive, in my opinion. All you need to do is look at the tactics that they're employing. They're using divers. They're using sonar. They are employing swamp buggies. I mean, this is not a search for a missing camper or a missing hiker. That's a swamp infested with alligators and snakes and all sorts of creatures down there that, show me that they are not trying to locate someone who is living and breathing in all likelihood. Now, with regard to the family and of Brian Laundry, they would have to commit a crime, obviously, before they could be charged. Merely failing to do what the police want them to do is not necessarily a crime. They would have to take some overt steps to interfere with or otherwise obstruct the investigation, maybe a false statement or hiding evidence or helping somebody else to do so. Those are the types of things that could get them in trouble. But simply remaining silent and not telling what they know is not a crime. But if the police have anything on them, it might be that they're waiting to develop more. But I think if they had enough to charge them by now, I do suspect they would have been charged at this point.
Is Brian Laundry still considered what they refer to as a person of interest? And if that's the case, why isn't he a suspect at this point?
I'm glad you asked me that question. There's no legal distinction between suspect, person of interest. These things have no legal significance, none whatsoever under the law. It's just a matter of semantics. We heard this first use, this person of interest phrase, some years ago in some other high-profile case, and I was scratching my head at the time. I'm like, why don't they just say suspect? Because
right,
that's what he is.
Right, exactly.
Let's just call it what it is. He's a suspect. There's nobody else that they're looking at. There's nobody else that is believed to have any information about how and when she may have been killed or otherwise passed away. So he's the suspect. Let's just call it what it is. This person of interest versus suspect is just semantics, and it has no legal significance whatsoever.
And maybe, Philip, I missed something, but, you know, when the first time I heard about this case was when her father was on Fox. It kind of caught me off guard. I was listening, didn't know much about the case. And then everything started leaking out. And actually, I did some research since, and I guess it was some folks on YouTube and some internet sleuths that may have cracked some of this case to begin with. But the part that I'm confused about is when he comes back, her dad is concerned. Why was there no effort? Maybe there was, and they just refused to get with him and to ask some questions more aggressively 15 days ago before he disappeared.
Mark, your guess is as good as mine. When I first saw this story as well, I had a really bad feeling. I think, you know, we've seen this movie before,
yeah, right,
and we pretty much kind of have a good idea of how it's probably going to end. And sadly, it turns out that, you know, my initial instinct was turned out to be correct. The police have to have some information to work with. When he first came back, he was basically keeping to himself. It was not on the radar for quite some time. I think like 10 or 11 days after he apparently returned back to Florida before she was even reported missing. You know, if you were wanting to hide and get rid of a lot of evidence, that's plenty of time to do it. The vehicle that he was traveling in, if it contained any items of evidentiary value, that's more than enough time for any evidence to be subject to spoliation and be otherwise unuseful.
And I know that we don't have answers to this yet, but going back to the search in the swamp, it's weird to me, because if the guy wants to off himself, there are other options there, but there would be no other reason they'd be looking in that area unless there was an evidence dump, right?
That's why they're there, because they believe he is there or what's left of him.
Right. Right.
There's even if he's not gator bait by now, there's all sorts of other ways that a human remains can decompose, particularly in a warm, swampy area.
Yeah.
So we've got predation, you've got the heat, you've got all sorts of factors at play, so to speak, that might make recovering remains from that area really, really difficult under the circumstances.
Philip Holloway, I appreciate your time. Obviously, a lot of questions, more questions than answers. It has captivated the nation, as these cases often do. I appreciate your help here this afternoon, Philip.
You're welcome. Anytime. And I'm sure we're going to be talking more about this as the days and maybe weeks move forward.
Yep. Unfortunately, we will be. It's a sad case overall for certainly for Gabby Petito and her family, and really both families at this point. It's just a mess. But thank you, Philip. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Take care.
So there's really been no development today, Sue, outside of, did you hear about, there was somebody from Instagram. There's a lot of this stuff that happens on Instagram and TikTok, but there was a woman named Nina Angelo who was the person, she was next to them at a restaurant in Wyoming where apparently things got kind of crazy. So this is on October 27th between 1 and 2 p.m.
Wait a minute,
local
September?
Time.
September?
No. August 27th.
August, okay.
So this is after the, when was the encounter that from Moab? That was the 12th, I think. So this is the 27th between 1 and 2 p.m. She says that she and her boyfriend, Matthew England, ate at a place called Mary Piglets. It's a Tex-Mex restaurant in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and that's where she saw the couple fighting.
We saw, not only saw, but saw like a blowout of a situation between Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie in Wyoming when we were there. I'm freaking the f*** out. They got kicked out of the restaurant and were fighting with the hostess. They were fighting with the hostess. She was hysterically crying. And she walked out and she was crying and she was staying on the sidewalk, and I was watching the whole thing unfold. And he walked back in the restaurant and he's fighting with the hostess. And I didn't know what happened. I don't even know if they got kicked out, but they like left abruptly. And like she was standing on the sidewalk crying, and he walked back in and was like screaming at the hostess and then walked back out. And then he walked back in like four more times to talk to the manager and to like tell the hostess off.
So they say that couple says they later remembered that because they saw the body cam footage. And the boyfriend says, Nina, that was the couple fighting at the restaurant. And she says it stopped me in my tracks. She also sounded very excited to share that news, didn't she?
Yeah, like, that kind of creeped me out a little
bit. Too excited, right. This is TJ Ward. He's a private investigator.
So I believe that probably he had something planned. There's something more to this picture that's going on in her death. And this fight that they had when they were stopped in by the police, there's something more was going on. She was extremely upset. And I don't think it was just a domestic argument. There was something going on that she knew, or something has come up, because this was an extreme amount. If you look to her face and her eyes, how swollen they were, this had been going on for a while, which evidence they have now that she was in a restaurant that they were asked to leave and she was fighting. So there's something seated in this event that transpired prior to her death.
I think he's probably on target on that.
Yep.
We may never know all these details, especially if this kid turns up dead as well, which he may very well be in a swamp right now. 444, Survivor. I've been a fan for 20-plus years.
That's incredible.
Well,
Most of us have.
It's one of my guilty pleasures, but I knew they were going to go woke. They went woke last night. Fill you in next. I'm on my way. 12 in a row for the Cardinals. 12 in a row, Klein?
Jeez. 12 in a row, magic number down to 6 to clinch a playoff spot.
Hey, Joe Arnold texts me, our good friend from Louisville, says, hey, we're only 7.5 out in the division, right?
You never know.
Why settle for the wild card when you've won 12 in a row?
That's right.
That is amazing. I mean, I'm stunned. I feel like this isn't even real. All right, well, I have an update. We might need a theme song for like a woke update, but check this out, Sue. The ACLU blasted this out yesterday. With Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, we lost a champion for abortion and gender equality. And on the anniversary of her death, the fight to protect abortion access is more urgent forever. And they tweeted out a quote of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And the quote says, "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, to their well-being and dignity. When the government controls that decision for people, they are being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for their own choices." Now, some of those words were in parentheses. I don't know if you noticed that, because that's not what she said. Okay.
They messed with her quote?
She didn't say "there" in all of those things. She said "woman." She said "woman." And she was very specific on that. So they removed that because it wasn't woke enough. So, I mean,
you've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. This is
A minute. Are you saying Survivor sent this out?
No.
Oh.
These two things go together. All right.
Okay.
So let me explain the Survivor angle here.
Okay.
So I've watched Survivor. It's a guilty pleasure. We watch it as a family. Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, has for every immunity and they do these challenges. So you can either get rewarded or you get immunity. He said this.
Come on in, guys. Come on in, guys. Come on in, guys. Come on in, guys.
Come on in, guys, right? So it's funny. The fans of the show do the same thing as Jeff does. So when they're getting to that point in the show, I always say, come on in, guys, because it's just one of those things. So last night at the beginning of Survivor, it's a new season, this happens.
Start, because I need your guidance on something. For 20 years, I have used one phrase to call people in for challenges.
Come on in, guys!
Come on in, guys.
Yeah.
Love saying it. It's part of the show. But I, too, want to be of the moment.
No.
So my question to you to decide
in
the context of Survivor, is a word like "guys" okay? Or is it time to retire that word? What do you think?
I personally think "guys" is okay. It's part of, you know, "come in, guys" is like such a signature expression. And, you know, I, as a woman, as a queer woman, do not feel excluded by guys.
Yeah, does anybody disagree?
No.
We feel okay keeping "guys."
That was a queer woman who said, "I'm okay with it. I don't care."
She doesn't.
That was,
she
all right,
gets
listen,
it.
She gets it, right? That was early in the show. Oh, but this was later in the show.
So when we saw you on day one, you asked us a question. You asked us how we felt about
Come on in, guys.
Right. And the reality is, there was so much going on. There's so much commotion. Cameras. My hair's messed up. I'm half crying. I don't have the capacity to do what I'm really supposed to do, which I regret. I don't agree that we should use the word "guys." I fully agree that we should change it, whether it just be dropping the "guys," changing it to something else. I just don't really agree with it. The reality is Survivor has changed over the last 21 years. And those changes have allowed all of us, all of these brown people, black people, Asian people, so many queer people to be here simultaneously.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I gotta say, I love that you thought about it more. I love that you had the courage inside a million-dollar game in which standing up anytime is risky.
This is the part that angers me the most. Because remember what he... So what he said, and I didn't have this in the audio, he looked at the camera the first time this came up and said, see, asked and answered, basically. We talked about it. Now he says this.
To bring it up again, because I'm with you. I want to change it. I'm glad that was the last time I will ever say it. And... realizing in this moment, somebody right now is on social media saying, oh, he caved. It's at Jeff Probst on Twitter.
Yeah, well, he did cave. And it's an embarrassment. Even they cut to that woman who is queer. She identifies as queer. She was shaking her head because she thought it was stupid. And they still caved. This is Woke America 2021, ladies and gentlemen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.